because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's kind of nice out there right now. 86 degrees, heat index is at 86. Humidity's 41. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 21, gusting up to 26. And here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette, it is 86.4 degrees, 40% humidity, 6 to 7 miles an hour wind. Let's see what the temperatures look like in our listening area around Texas and Oklahoma. Looks like Cheyenne is the hottest spot. Well, Cheyenne Camargo in at 91 degrees. Arnett, you're in there at 89. Bessie, 89. Butler, 87 up there at Putman, home of B&L Red Angus, which I see that Lori and her sidekick, Riley, they're up in South Dakota. They've been to Cheyenne Rodeo, and now they've been to the all kinds of places in South Dakota. Anyway, I hope you girls are having fun up there with the kids. And Texas, 89 at Wheeler, 89 at Shamrock, and Hollis, Oklahoma, home headquarters of Harmon County, is 86 degrees. So anyway, you look like you're the coolest spot in the area. Man, a lot going on this weekend. Hopefully, I know everybody didn't get rain, but where you got rain, I hope you was blessed. There's just a wide open spot down there in Kiowa County and parts of Greer County and a little bit of Ouachita County. It's been missing out on the rain and some parts of Roger Mills. It's just, I hate it, but the other people got rain. At my house in my area, we got anywhere from 3/4 inch to 1.2 inches in that area. Up north of Canute, they got an inch in that area. Way up north, not too far up north, northern Roger Mills County up in that area, got anywhere with all the rain showers, 2 to 3 inches. And areas up north, way up north along Kansas-Oklahoma state line, that they've been getting their share of rain. And that rain was the one that helped put out the Moreland fire. Got something funny, and I'm not going to mention who that meteorologist was, and I don't know that meteorologist, so it wasn't Lacey, so don't think that's what it was, but it was on a different channel. Friday, I don't know if you guys caught that, but Friday morning, meteorologist, I just think it's funny. It just shows you sometimes people don't know anything. Was talking about the rain up there in Woodward County around the Moreland fire and said, man, that's too bad because those roads are going to be muddy now for those fire trucks to get back and forth on. And I just had to giggle. Just sometimes common sense got to be there. Well, let's check out some futures on the grains. September. Well, let me refresh it real quick here. Make sure. Yeah, there we go. Boom. September corn, $5.99, is down 16.4. December 602, March is 610, May is 613. Soybeans for August, $15.88, it's down 48 cents. And September 1425, down 62. November's 1399, it's down 69. Soybean meal, August $485.80 short ton, it's down 9.5. Soybean meal for September, $428.10. October, $401.80. Soybean oil, August, 66.66 cents. All sixes across the board per pound. September, $63.78. October, $63.10. Hard red winter wheat, $8.66 for September. December is $8.67. Oats, September, $4.40. December 432. Cotton, October $1.03 a pound. And sugar's coming in there at 17 cents. So 17 and a half cents. Oil is down 93, almost just a little under $94 a barrel, which is good. And that's for September. And natural gas is hanging in there above $8, anywhere from $8.10 to $8.09. 809, somewhere in there. Anyway, let's check out the cash grain markets in Oklahoma and Texas going on right now at the elevators. We got hard red winter wheat, $8.01 per bushel. Corn's at $7.39. That's cash prices here. $6.28 for Milo. Soybeans are at $14.65. Anyway, well, let's check on what's going on around the world. All kinds of things happening over the weekend. Grain and soybean futures plunged in overnight trading as exports began flowing from Ukraine after months of being stalled due to the Russian invasion of the country. The first ship hauling Ukraine grain has sailed from a port that should help alleviate food crises happening around the globe. A deal was brokered between Ukraine and Russia by Turkey and the United Nations to get wheat and corn flowing from the war-torn country. Prior to the start of the Russian attacks in February, Ukraine was expected to export 24 million metric tons, making it the third largest shipper of the grain. The USDA earlier this month projected Ukraine wheat exports at 10 million metric tons. While prices are falling in the overnight session, hot weather has moved into the central U.S. as expected. Heat advisories have been issued from Minnesota into Arkansas and from central Nebraska through central Iowa, according to the weather maps. Little or no rainfall in much of the Dakotas, Iowa, and Wisconsin in the past 7 days, according to the National Weather Service. Still, ample rain has fallen in a stretch of land that includes Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, and southern Illinois and Indiana. About 59% of the U.S. soybean crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of last week, down from 61% a week earlier. Around 61% of the corn earned top ratings, and that was down 64% from the previous week. The agency is scheduled to update its crop progress report today, which should be going on probably about right now. Corn futures for December delivery dropped 14.5 cents to 605.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat for September delivery plunged 14 cents to $7.93 a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 14.25 cents to $8.60 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 21.5 cents to $14.47 a bushel. Soy meal dropped $5.20 to $413.30 a short ton, while soybean oil futures declined 1.21 pennies to 64.45 cents a pound. Money managers raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn and beans for the first time in several weeks, according to the data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net 111,784 corn future contracts in the week that ended on July 26. That's up from 103,000 a week earlier. That's the first increase since June 14th. Speculators raised their bullish bets on soybeans in a net 85,962 contracts last week, and that's up from 83,000 the week before. That's also the first pump since mid-June. In wheat, investors decreased their net longs in hard red winter wheat futures to 10,893 contracts, and that's down from 11,793 contracts a week earlier. That marks the smallest such position since April 13 of 2021, according to the government data. Money managers increased their net short positions or bets on lower prices in the soft red winter wheat to 14,527 future contracts. That's up from 11,553 the week earlier. That's the largest bearish position since February 22. of 22. How's that? Anyway, it's looks like everything kind of up and down. I figure when that wheat started coming out of Ukraine, things were going to hit the bottom maybe. Extremely hot weather is expected in the central Corn Belt as temperatures reach well into the triple digits, according to the National Weather Service. Heat indexes in Nebraska into western central Iowa are forecast to hit as high as 110 degrees today. A heat advisory has been issued starting at 1 o'clock and it ends at 8 o'clock tonight. In central Missouri and counties in western Illinois, values are expected to reach 105 degrees today. Heat advisories have been issued for central Minnesota also, south into northern Arkansas, and west to east from central Nebraska into western Illinois. In Montana, Wyoming, and parts of the western South Dakota, meanwhile, red flag warnings are in effect today for extremely dry weather. Winds in western South Dakota will be sustained from 10 to 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 30. Humidity is projected to fall as low as 10%. The combination of gusty winds and low humidity will produce critical fire weather conditions up north. Well, our forecast, Long Ranger, it's got a couple chances of rain in it, which is good. But, yeah, we're getting ready to get back into that extreme hot. Yesterday and Saturday was beautiful. And, anyway, we got I got a little bit done on the field. I dusted some millet and high gear in last Thursday. Wasn't thinking about the rain. I got irrigation there. Thought, well, I'll just wait till Saturday when the winds are calm and I can spray the weeds that were on top of the ground because I no-tilled it in. Got the rain Friday night, so I had to kick her in gear and get her sprayed yesterday. But I got some of the weeds sprayed yesterday and checked, and my millet and the high gear had sprouted this morning. And I've already started irrigation on it because there hadn't been no water on that field all summer long. And that inch and a half is just, or inch 1.2 inches is just going to go through it like a funnel. So I just went in and started the water on it because it takes me almost eight days to water it across there with the heat and the forecast. I wanted to get ahead of the game and not be behind. Anyway, we want to come back and we'll talk some on cattle futures. And I got some results for a couple of the sale barns around here. And also I got sale barn numbers in from Texas and Oklahoma. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, July the 26th. We sold 1,075 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, July the 28th, we sold 3,608 kids and feeders for a total of 4,683 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 69 to 81. Thin cows bring 30 up to 67, with the bulls bringing 82.5 to 104. 2-to-8-year-old bred cows, 650 to 1,100, with the 5-to-8-year-old pairs, 1,100 to 1,625. Kids and feeders, much higher. Feeders, 2 to 6 higher. Kids, 5 to 15 higher. Understeer cattle, 350 to 408 steers, 197 to 205. 450 to 508, 198 to 206. 6 to 650 steers, 173.5 to 192. 7 to 750, 167 to 177. 8 to 850, 164 to 174.5. 9 to 950, 164.5 to 165.50. And our 1,050 pound steers, 157 a quarter to 159.60. 1050 to 11 weight steers, 144 to 158. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 181 to 182. 4 to 450, 175 to 189. 5 to 550, 159 to 183. 6 to 650, 149 to 176. 7 to 750, 160 to 169.75. 8 to 850 heifers, 145 to 155.5. 28 heifers, 1916, bring 135. And our 1,050 pound heifers, 117 to 119. Very good market. Figure what some of these cattle are bringing. Might ought to take advantage of it. For this Tuesday, August the 2nd, we will have 40 bred cows and pairs 4 to 8 years old. We also got 70 bred cows running age. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving Dairy 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Nine degrees here at Elk City at the radio station, and let's just check out what's happening around western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. It looks like Cheyenne's at 90, Camargo's at 94, Arnett, you're 87, Hobart, 82. You're the coolest in the area right now. That's temperature-wise. And 86 at Hollis and 87 at Shamrock. 90 at Wheeler, Texas. Anyway, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here pretty quick. Let's see what's happening with some futures on live cattle. I can get it to work. There we go. Live cattle for August is 136.82. October 142.50. December 148.55. February 152.85, feeder cattle 179. It's up pretty good, $1.03, 179.90. Sorry, and September's 183.35, up $1.80. And then lean hogs, August 120.20, October 96.52, December 87.50. Well, let's check out what's going on, what happened with summaries. This was for last Friday. It was the USDA end of the deal. Texas sale barn receipts. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were mostly steady to instances $4 higher. Many producers are culling their cow herd or selling calves early due to drought-stricken pastures. The area did have thunderstorms move across the area late in the week. Supply included 72% feeder cattle, 25% slaughter cattle, 3% replacement cattle. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was only 34% of what was reported. 5,977 head was sold last week in Texas compared to 7,292 the week before. Sound like Butch Black there trying to do that. But this time last year, there was 4,500 head went through the sale barn. Let's check out some prices on some of the steers. Looks like they had some thin-fleshed 227-pounders brought $280. So they were pretty thin for that price. 332-pounders was bringing anywhere from $220 to $240. Big bunch of 388 pounders brought 205 to 234. 413 pounders bringing anywhere from 195 to 217, and this is on steers. And then we had some fancy ones that weighed 421, brought 226 to 228. Unwinged ones at 441 brought 209. Some more unwinged ones at 467 brought $1.99. And then we had some 525-pounders, brought $2.03. Some 580s brought up to $1.90. And some unwinged ones weighing 554 brought $1.86. And then let's see, they got, yeah, there's some 600-pounders. 688s was bringing up to $1.79 a pound. 709s was bringing $1.77 a pound. And then they had some odd ones like at 1140 brought $1.23. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were $4 to $6 higher. Demand moderate to good for feeder cattle. Corn prices were slightly higher. Many cattle moving off of grass this week, and it seems we are nearing the end of the summer feeder run. Steer calves under 500, $6 to $10 higher. Heifer calves under 500, $5 to $15 higher. Steer calves and heifer calves over 500 was $2 to $6 higher. Demand turned light to moderate for calves as summer heats reached record levels this past week in many of the areas of the state, reaching up to 110 degrees. And according to our Mesonet, the drought area has expanded. This drought has also created a big movement of cows to the market with another week of large cow runs. Slaughter cows stalled steady to $5 higher, which is different. Slaughter bulls unevenly steady throughout the state. Supply included 87% feeder cattle, 11% slaughter cattle, 2% replacement cattle. But just unlike Texas, feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 70%. Total receipts in Oklahoma last week, 28,413 head. Reported the week before, 39,000, basically 40,000 head sold. But this time last year, we're a couple thousand higher than last year at 26,768 head sold. All right, let's check out some of the prices and the steers. We got some 313-pounders bringing up to 231, 379-pounders bringing up to 225, 426-pounders up to 222, 418 value-added, 204, 475-pounders up to 212, 524-pounders 205 up to 205. And then they had some 485s that were unwinged that brought up to 203. Some thin fleshed 500 pounders brought basically 210. And then we got 563s, 207 that was thin fleshed, and some unwinged ones weighing 574 brought up to $2.25 a pound. So anyway, then we're unwinged. So, and then 568s, value added, $1.96 a pound. So there's your reports from there. All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, here's a few numbers that I brought up. Right now, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is happening over there east of Clinton on I-40. Brandon will be sending me his results from Elk City Friday and results from Western Oklahoma. He'll send them to me tonight when the sale's over or in the morning, whenever he gets. I've got Texas at 5 o'clock in the morning from him before. And tomorrow, Jerry Nine will be having his weekly cow and bull sale up there at Woodward. Wednesday, Hobart, Oklahoma, heart of Kiowa County. Rex Fleming will be having his at the Hobart Stockyards. And then I got to look that up during the break, but I'm pretty sure this first Saturday of the month, and they'll be having the sheep and goat auction going on at Hobart. So you'll have to contact Rex down there at Mr. Fleming himself, Mr. Smiley, and see what that's going on. But I'll look it up when I on this next break. And then we get back to Woodward Thursday for their feeder calf sale. But anyway, I got some numbers from OKC West here from last week that been tracking this, because I thought the numbers were coming up when you think they'd be going down during a drought, but actually they're staying up pretty good. And I was surprised slaughter cattle come up a little bit, but it did. Steers, they had some 385s bringing up to 217.50. Some 524s bringing up to 205. Big load of them, 144 head. Had 183 head of 617 pounders, bringing up to $1.89. And some seven big loads of 815 pounders, bringing up $1.73. And then on their heifers, this is what I was after. Heifers is the ones I always look at. They had some 431 pounders, bringing up to $1.86. 484 pounders, bringing up to $1.85. 585 pounders, bringing up to $1.75. 694, bringing up to $1.67. And then they had some 800-pound heifers bringing up to 156, 158, and 900-pounders bringing 153. So, I mean, just you can take a heifer in there and get $1,500 for it right now if you want it to. I don't know what the bred ones would sell for. But anyway, there's some of the stuff from OKC West. It's kind of in check with what's going on out here in western Oklahoma at all of our livestock. Now, I'll have you some results either during the end of the show today if I get it, or tomorrow from what happened down at Hollis in Harmon County Saturday. When I get back, we'll be talking a little more about what's going on in our ag world, because a lot's happening. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 25th. 1,858 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 368 brought 204. 5 at 451 brought 165. 13 at 693 brought 175.50. 24 at 834 brought 164. 3 at 848 brought 159. 7 head of heifers at 384 brought 180. 5 at 500 brought 171.50. 20 at 618 brought 168.50. 4 at 635 brought 141. 9 at 829 brought 153.50. Butcher cows were 11 to 75. Butcher bulls brought 61 to 107. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Currently here at the Elk City Mezzanette out west of town by the dump. It's 89 degrees. Heat index is 88. Winds are out of south-southwest at 21 miles an hour with a wind gust up to 27. Anyway, I did check. The goat and sheep sale will be I think they always start at 11 o'clock. They just said next goat and sheep sale is in August 6th, so there will be a sale this Saturday. Just call Rex down there at the stockyards at Hobart and get with him if you got any for any buying or selling needs you need with the goat sale coming up. But remember, he's got his cattle sale coming up Wednesday also. So if you got anything needs to be done then, he'll be more than glad to help you out. All right, let's check this out here. When should hay be tested? The text line's open at 580-225-9697. I like to hear different theories. Everybody's got different theories on it. But K-State come out with a couple deals, one of them on hay testing and also how to manage snake bites and abscesses in cattle. I thought it was a pretty interesting article. Beef producers who know the nutrient profile of the hay they are feeding their herds are better able to match the right supplement strategy to meet the needs of the cow, said K-State University Beef Cattle Institute experts on a recent Cattle Chat podcast. For a dry cow, the nutrient needs are much lower than for a first calf heifer or a cow. So by doing hay testing, producers can use that information to deliver the highest quality hay to the females that need it the most, said K-State veterinarian Bob Larson. The expert said not all hay necessarily needs to be tested annually, but there are times when it is important to test. Producers who can fairly accurately estimate the quality of hay based on their previous testing or many years of monitoring cow condition won't necessarily need to test hay as long as it's compared to hay harvested about the same maturity from the same field or pasture, Larson said. He noted that typically because much less is known about purchase hay compared to raise hay, off-farm hay should always be tested prior to purchasing. Nutritionist Philip Lancaster said it's beneficial to evaluate hay that is newly acquired. When testing, there are two main things to look at the report: the amount of protein and some estimate of digestibility. Total digestible nutrients, or TDN, will help us know how much energy is in hay and that the nutrient that the cattle need is in their greatest quantity. Veterinarian Brad White added that it's important to get a correct sample of hay when testing. You don't have to test every bale, but you need to get a representative sample from the cuttings. For guidelines on how to properly collect that sample, reach out to your local county extension office. Here's my opinion on that. If I'm like my alfalfa that I don't have, last year was the last year for it, I had every cutting tested. That way if I sold it, anybody asked me, I knew what they were getting, or, you know, kind of helped me base the price also. But if this year with this drought going on and everybody needing hay, if you buy any hay from outside of your norm, like your neighbor or whatever that you trust, you better get your hay tested, because there's already been some stuff happen where people have brought hay in from long ways away and they get there and they're totally disappointed. And so just get your that guy don't want to sell you that hay over there, Eastern Oklahoma or Western Missouri or Kansas or wherever, and get it tested for you. I wouldn't mess with it. I don't care how desperate you are. And anyway, it's just one of those deals. And different hay, get your straw tested. That way you know you can mix it. A lot of people grinding and feeding out there. You know what you got in your cattle doing it all. But anyway, it's just something to be done. Those hay tests are cheap. Okay, so snake bites and managing abscesses. Well, I just had a little 250-pound heifer calf got bit twice on a leg out here west of town about a month or so ago. And she spent a few weeks with Dr. Mouse up there. And Dr. Mouse did a really good job with her. And is the calf doing great? No. But the leg's not swelled up anymore. It still finds its mama. And it's putting on a little weight. It's way behind the other calves, of course. But tough little booger, but it's it puts a little bit of weight on there. It was a bad deal. It got bit twice by, I'm sure it's prairie rattler out west of Elk. So anyway, it's something. I know a lot of people, especially down in there, I got cattle whittling down in that area. They've had cattle get bit by snakes. I don't know what they've done for them. Sometimes you can't do nothing for them. Sometimes you don't even know they got bit. But K-State beef cattle expert also talked about managing snake bites and abscesses in cattle. Cattle experiencing snake bites are not common, but when they do happen, it's an experience because the tissue of that site and that bite will swell considerably. And it did. I thought she got it hung up in something. And then when I got it up there and Dr. Taylor got it cleaned up, Dr. Taylor Mouse, I always call her Dr. Taylor because I'm always smart with her. But anyway, Dr. Mouse, you know, when she got in there and figured out what it was, it, you know, she was leaning towards the snake bite deal. Got bit twice and cut circulation off below the leg. So she had to cut it open, let it drain, and soaking, I'm going to say, Epsom salt every day, that wound. And anyway, it's got better. She's out there now, but she had a rough life. She was born coldest night of the winter of 2022 in February, and she lost part of her ear, so she's pretty tough. Sometimes cattle will develop a secondary infection that can be fatal, but that is not common, says veterinarian Brian Lubers. Larson and Lubers agree the best treatment is comfort care. We try to manage them so the condition doesn't get worse and intervene with treatments on an individual basis. Along with snake bites, sometimes cattle will develop unrelated abscesses on their body. Cattle will sometimes be injured by a wire or stick that penetrates the skin, or an abscess can result. When this happens, Luber says the object will need to be removed if it wasn't just a poke in and out before the wound can begin to heal. The bottom line, White said, is that whenever swelling on an animal is detected, it is important to investigate. Get the cattle in the barn or a chute where you or your veterinarian can examine them, because different conditions will result in different treatments. And that was all from this K-State podcast here last week. So anyway, pretty interested. And let's see here what we got on the text line. When I was raised on the farm in Oklahoma, we only had one size bale of hay. Now there's rolls of bigger bales of hay. Why the change and why the bigger value? And then he doesn't have it mold if it's not completely dried. It doesn't mold if it's not completely cured out. Yes, you're right. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, first round bale I ever baled up was in the early 80s. And they were basically a little bit smaller than what we got now. But a lot of guys like the big bales, the 6x5s, full-size big bales that weigh 2,000 pounds. To me, it's hard on the trucks, these one, even the one-tons, because most trucks can carry two. I mean, there's a lot of trucks that carry one. But if you feed a 2,000-pound bale compared to a 1,400-pound bale, you don't have to put as much hay out as often. But I mean, the hay's cost the same. I mean, if you're selling by the ton. So it's just one of those deals, and a lot of guys unroll their hay now. So if you got a 2,000-pound bale out there and you unroll your hay and you only need to unroll half of it, you can unroll half of it and take the other half to another pasture, or keep that one for later on. And 1,400-pound bales, you unroll it. I mean, if you got a small herd in that pasture or whatever, it works out pretty good. I have most of my hay is 1,400 to 1,500 pounds, and I unroll the whole bale and let them have it. They clean it up. Unless there's a storm or something coming in and you don't want that hay to get wet, rolled out, then I just unroll half of it and either take the other half back with me or just leave half of it rolled up and let 10 or 12 of the cows fight over that and why the smart ones are out there grazing on the grass. So I hope that answers your question. There's no bigger value. I mean, there's a bigger value to a big bale of hay, but as far as why people do it, I got friends that love those giant bales because they don't have to feed as much, and the balers and the tractors and everything are bigger than they used to be. Like, I had a 510 back there, John Deere 510 back in the early 80s. Now I got the 569, and I can do a 72-inch bale compared to 65-inch bale just as easy as anybody can anywhere. So hope that answers your question. When I come back, I have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. You guys, hunting season's coming around the corner. We're going to be getting ready. The reports of quail are still looking good. And down there at Hobart, Mr. Joe Bob and his brothers, they got some stuff back here in that back room that would just make a lot of people's mouth water and their eyes widen when they see all those Browning guns on the shelves back there. So anyway, it's coming up right after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, hey, welcome to T-Mobile.
Hey, I didn't know you guys were here.
Well, we cover 99% of people in America, so we're kind of everywhere.
I thought you were just in big cities.
Well, T-Mobile has invested billions to bring our award-winning network from big cities to towns like ours. And right now, when you switch, you can get 20% off for life with our hometown discount.
20% off for life?
Yep, 20% off unlimited talk, text, and data on T-Mobile's network for life.
All right, sign me up. Oh, one more thing. You like fishing?
That depends. You talking fly fishing, bait casting, spinning, or trolling?
Well, this is off to a beautiful start.
T-Mobile's here in your neighborhood, and we've got you covered. Head to your local Beckham County T-Mobile store to switch and get 20% off for life on qualifying new lines with our hometown discount today.
20% off for the life of your plan via monthly bill credits on qualifying new lines activated at participating stores for a limited time. Credits stop if you cancel lines or change plans. Heavy data users may notice lower speeds during congestion due to data prioritization. Video typically in SD. See T-Mobile.com/hometown discount.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 22nd. 2,073 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 330 brought 206. 4 at 466 brought 186. 16 at 517 brought 174. 10 at 562 brought 157. 5 at 922 brought 147. 3 head of heifers at 247 brought 184. 7 at 408 brought 158. 9 at 541 brought 153.50. 14 at 654 brought 147. 4 at 911 brought 128.50. Butcher cows were 15 to 86.50. Butcher bulls brought 55 to 108. Bred cows were 650 to 1225. Pairs brought 850 to 1785. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that, I understand it, I live the same life, I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Uh-huh. 89 degrees here at the Elk City Mezzanette. 89 is your heat index. Humidity is 36%. The winds are out of the south-southwest, 20 miles an hour, gusting up to 26 miles an hour. And here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. 30% chance of showers today. High 97. Tonight, 78. Tomorrow, hot, 101. Tomorrow evening, 78 degrees, mostly clear. Wednesday, 102 and hot. Wednesday night, we got a chance of rain. That wasn't in the forecast early this morning. Anyway, slight chance of thunderstorms, 20%. Wednesday night with a low of 75. Thursday, 20% chance of thunderstorms, high of 100. And then Friday, 100 and hot. Anyway, we got all triple digits starting tomorrow. Pretty close to it today if we don't get there. I don't know if it's going to get quite there or not. I know it's just 1 o'clock or getting close to it, but anyway, it's pretty warm. All right, let's see here. Story, we all know the song and dance, but we need to talk about it. Tough decisions are being made around Texas, over here across the state line especially, as drought conditions force ranchers to cull cattle herds due to lack of forage. Cattle producers must decide whether to continue feeding by purchasing available hay or finding other economical feedway options, or to simply bear down on herd numbers. Jason Banda, who is a PhD at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service beef cattle specialist, said phone calls and emails have picked up quite recently as ranchers seek options for managing cattle numbers. It's important for producers to consider how much hay they may need to feed, get through until forage conditions improve, or how much feed it will take to stretch hay supplies if they are considering that option. Can they find hay to purchase? And if they can, what does it cost? And what will the combination of hay and feed cost per day per cow? If that decision is made to reduce cow herd numbers, you're better off making these decisions sooner than later. Banda said future calf sales may not offset feed expenses depending on daily feed costs to keep cows. For many producers, Banda said it will likely be $3 to $4 a day to feed a dry cow. That means it could cost $400 to keep that cow for the next 100 days if conditions do not improve significantly. At that price, he said spending levels on feed could exceed expected future increases in calf prices. Well, if it doesn't, if you got to do it for the next 100 days, if you decide doing it now and we don't get any more rain, it's going to go all the way into next April, and hopefully we get out of the drought by then. So a lot of things to talk about. Prices for supplemental feed like range cubes and hay have continued to increase, according to AgriLife Extension reports from around the state. Range cubes reached $400 per ton near College Station in recent weeks, while round bales of hay were starting to fetch $75 to $80. For weeks, AgriLife Extension agencies have reported $80-plus bales in drier areas of the state. And they must have been little ones, because they're selling for $100, $150, up to $200 around here per round bale. Hay production in East Texas alone was only 25 to 50% of the normal yield, according to the district reports. Feed grain, corn, and sorghum yields in the southern half of the state have been well below normal as well, compared to feed demands that have been well above average across the state. Part of the challenge right now is thinking about how many cows are you going to cull and what that could mean to calf prices moving forward. People still have the thought from what happened to calf prices after the droughts of 2011-2012. However, if we don't make a good corn crop, how is that going to impact calf prices? Or what if we have a recession? And I think that recession's already started myself. In many situations, it may make things more sense to reduce cow numbers instead of trying to feed the entire herd. While the main concern for most ranchers is forage water availability could become a serious concern in the next 60 days, Banda said. Most producers haven't had widespread water issues yet, but certainly conditions could worsen without sufficient rainfall and runoff. Banda also reminded producers to regularly monitor water sources, and we know that we hear that here on the show all the time, and fence off any ponds that are extremely low to prevent cattle from potentially getting stuck. And then we haven't discussed that, and that's something that you need to think about, those get out there and getting that soggy stuff, and so they get stuck. I've seen it done. AgriLife Extension has a suite of drought publications available with strategies for destocking, stretching hay resources, providing supplemental feed options, and more at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. So anyway, thank you, Dr. Banda, for sending me that report. Anyway, Anyway, I know there's some areas around here been getting rain here, but rain is great and everything, but we're still in a drought. And according to the Oklahoma Mesonet this morning, the state of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, it doesn't look good for the month of August. We're going to have above normal temperatures. Northern Oklahoma could receive moisture that'll help them out, but southern Oklahoma and the midwestern or the mid part of the Oklahoma, it doesn't look good. And the eastern part of the Texas Panhandle, the forecast was dry, precipitation and everything, so it's not looking very bueno for the forecast. And I've seen a 3-month forecast and it doesn't look good either. So don't want to be discouraging, but you got to be prepared for what you got coming up. We have all these things coming up, that all this new modern technology that can help us, in that modern technology cost. And I don't think most of the western part of Oklahoma, as a gentleman told me earlier this morning, it's going to be tough to lose 2 wheat crops in a row if this drought continues. So anyway, there you go. Well, here's some things that went on over the weekend. The Feds hiked the interest rate. Federal Reserve officials raised interest rates by 75 basis points for the second straight month on Wednesday. Chair Powell says a similar move is possible again. The back-to-back June and July increases are the biggest rate hikes since the early 1980s. Bloomberg Economics think that there's a little chance the Fed will pause its rate hikes later this year, as the market currently expects. Pork outlook muddled by inflation. According to the latest Rambo Bank quarterly pork report, global pork trade declined in the first half of 2022, but it's expected to pick up through the remainder of the year. Market prospects are improving due to the slight easing of feed costs and the resilient consumer demand. Tips for beginning farmers. I'm going to cover that one tomorrow. That's a pretty good read. That one helped, because there's a lot of beginning farmers out there, and it's tough. It's tough to start farming out nowadays, and especially in the last 10 years with the land cost of land going up. The USDA expands its rural internet. I heard already down south of Carter, they're already working on it between there and Willow and Granite. SparkLife is. So anyway, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch this. Tom Valsack announced an investment of $401 million to improve high-speed internet access in the rural areas. This project will deliver high-speed internet access to 31,000 rural residents and businesses in 11 states. Additional announcements will come later this summer regarding the remainder of the $1.15 billion in support for the rural broadband included in round 3 of the ReConnect program. And I will have U.S. Representative Frank Lucas on here in about, what is today, the first, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, actually, he'll be on here. And that's one of my questions for him, and how is all this money going to be spent? So anyway, and they had a fire in the sky in North Texas on a wind farm. I didn't realize this. But there's 800 gallons of oil in that gearbox up there. And down low where the ground level transformer is, 1,300 gallons of mineral oil there. I learned something today. I knew it had oil, I just didn't know how much. So, well, you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars.
Rick Homie. Mr. Misunderstood.
KECO, Elk City.